ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise the Lord. Psalm 103, today is Thanksgiving Day. I just want to remind us about who this God is and the fact that He's very active in our lives. The hearts of men, women are feeling them these days. A whole lot of things are happening all around us. And to many people, some people are asking, is God still alive? What is He looking at when all these things are happening? The truth, if you read the Word of God, God is faithful, God is just, God is true to His Word. We are the variables. I mean, we are shouting about global warming now. The heat is much, but we are the ones who depleted the environment. We are supposed to manage it better. He made man to be the steward of the heart. We talk about so many things, safety, security, everything you need out of selfishness and greed of men. That's when what motivated men, or what is motivating men, to pick guns and rob other people of their belongings. So when you look at it, God is constant. We are the variables. But thank God for the provision of His Word, which is complete. He says, if my people, and so that means you and I, Minister Sodiq took us through that, and Minister Sunday, you and I have a duty. We have a duty to God. We have a duty to fellow human beings to stand in gap. We know God can intervene. We know God can rebuild. We know God can bring a new beginning, but we have that duty. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. That's the provision. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I think verse 14. If my own people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. We shouldn't be positioned to be part of the problem. We carry the solution of heaven. We understand how God works. We understand that the author of this evil that we are seeing can never be God. In Psalm 73, verse 1, he said, truly, God is good to Israel. God is good. God is good. Don't say, maybe I don't know what is going on there. I know. I pray for a family just before the service who just lost a loved one. I lost two uncles within 1 week. They are still lying down in the mortuary. So the pain is there. The challenges of life is real. I mean, I got an SMS this morning. Someone wants to be admitted into the hospital. I got another SMS. Maybe she has given birth now. So life happens. And it happens in different degrees and in different dimensions. But it says, truly, God is good. So for you and I, we must not be part of the whiners. We must not take on a job description, the world champion warrior. Some people just worry for nothing. They worry about their health. They worry about their kids. They worry about their job that they have not lost. They worry about their business opportunity. They worry, even when they have business opportunity, they worry that something is going to go wrong. Look at the perspective of David in Psalm 103. That's my test for this morning. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So you as an individual created in the image of God you must make a decision. He said, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Some people complain. That's what their souls give out. Some people don't see good in all that is happening around us. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He said, and all that is within me. So, the heart of gratefulness is within us. The heart of appreciating God, appreciating one another, is within us. He says, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, he said, bless the Lord. So, the Bible already said it, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So, in another verse, he said, bless the Lord. So, it's already two, which is the number of witness. It suggests that we have no other way as believers in this God, as believers in Christ, we have no other way. And that's why it's written somewhere that when men say there is casting down, the testimony on my lips, on your lips, you'll be that there is lifting up. Even when all hope is lost, I mean, the Bible recorded that in the book of Acts. All hopes, I mean, there was a situation, they were about to have shipwreck. The Bible says all hope, they fasted, they prayed, they've done everything that they needed to do. They've threw some of the overweight goods into the sea. When all hope was lost, there came a man who was on that ship. He says, be still, everybody. He said, the angel of the Lord whom I serve stood. And he said, let every heart be encouraged, for there shall be no loss. The word of the Lord is still true. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. So no matter how bad it is, there is still benefits with this God. Lamentation says he daily loads us with these benefits because his compassion fails not. He said they are new, not old, not refurbished, not carry over. They are new every morning and great. Not small, not afterthought. Great is his faithfulness. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So let's read the benefit. Verse 3. He forgives. Can I say something to you this morning? And that it's not a license to sin. Before you condemn me in your mind. So when he says he forgives all, it means past, present, and the future, if there is anything like that. When someone says he clears all your debt, are there still interests logging somewhere? So he forgives. All means all. All means all. It means when God looks at you, he sees a new creature. He sees a brand new man, a brand new woman. And you see, that new creation means someone who has never had the knowledge of sin. I mean, we can't be sinning so that we say, God, no. He said, how can, I mean, you read it in another place. How can we continue to sin? How can we make sin an habit and ask that the grace of God should continue to abound? He forgives all. And then he heals all. Then he redeems our lives from destruction. Hebrews 7:25, talking about the one who paid this price, he said he is able to save to the uttermost. And that he's willing to redeem all that comes to him. Therefore, he's also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always, Jesus is alive, is the ancient of days. is always, not temporarily, is always, he lives. I love what the Bible, I mean, the way John described him. He said, when he had a revelation of him, he said, I am he. And can you see? He said, he didn't say, I was he. It means from everlasting to everlasting is God. In John 1:29, John cited him. He said, behold the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the whole world. Paul had a different analysis of him. But let's just stay with John. He said, I am he who was dead. He said, now I am alive forevermore. And that's not the end. He said, I hold the keys. If you hold the key, you have the access. I hold the keys. You see, this day, as I begin to study my Bible, and I ask God for revelation, see, I can tell you, under God, I can tell you, there is nothing you are looking for anywhere, any place that is not in this world. There is no security anywhere. There is no provision anywhere. There is no preservation anywhere. It's all in the world. He said, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every means, the one we already have, the one that is now being revealed, the one that is yet to be revealed. Every spiritual blessings in high places in Christ. Brother, sister, David of old, he says, bless the Lord. He said, he forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He redeemed our lives from destruction. That was in the hand. He said, he crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. So, provision is still made for your present weaknesses. I'm not saying stay weak, but I'm also saying the high priest can connect with you where you are at the moment. But you have to come up too. Come up. Because destinies of men are tied to your own. He said, he satisfies your mouth with good things. He said, so that your youth is renewed. You see, as you grace into this glory, we are changed. People ask me for my multivitamins. I say, the word of God. They say, since we knew you, you have always been like this. I say, I am the Lord. I change yet not. Aren't you going to hurt flesh? I've had it. Thank God for lockdown. I was fed and overfed. I know, I'm commending your work. I've added. So let me encourage your work. So, it satisfies our mouth with good things. Our youth is renewed. So, if he says your youth, so that headache, that migraine headache is not yours. You know, sometimes you are snared by the word of your mouth. You are taken captive by the word of your mouth. My migraine, my cancer, my regional or seasonal diseases, my fibroid. It's not yours. It's not. Are they there? Maybe factually they are there. But the truth is that he made provision that they should not be there. So we reflect today as we engage in thanksgiving on his goodness, on his faithfulness. We dwell on what is important. And what are those things that are important? That we highlight them in moments. A new shoe is not important. A new car is not important. If already you already have one. Summer holiday is not important. These are things that people kill themselves over. Is it good to go for summer? God knows Maldives is my next holiday destination. So it's not, don't condemn, I'm not condemning holiday. If you have, but thank him for the opportunity that you have. We offer gratitude to God on the things that are important. Number one thing, the gift of Jesus. If Jesus is not in our lives, some of us, we are goners. If he's not giving breath to us, if he's not healing our bodies, some of us can't afford hospital bills. So we thank him, number one, for the opportunity to push out the gospel. The gospel is not banned. There is global pandemic, but people are still hearing the gospel. We hear it on radio, we hear it on TV. Secondly, we thank him for the gift of Jesus. The gift of Jesus is our salvation. And when you look at that word, salvation, it's a complete word. It means deliverance from sin, from sickness, and from poverty. Those are the three things that plague humanity, as it were. And that's why Paul, when he is got that revelation of the gospel of salvation, may say in Romans 1:16, he said, No. There is a difference. I am not ashamed of this gospel, for this is the power of God unto everyone who believes. He said, in this gospel, that's where the right standing, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I am not ashamed of it. Because the gospel made that provision for deliverance from sin, deliverance from sickness, deliverance from poverty. And those three things are what is called the curse of the law, which Jesus delivered us from. So we thank him. We thank him for that privilege that we have. And then thirdly or fourthly, we thank him for the nation, especially our own nation. We thank him for the nations, and then especially our own nations. Fourthly or fifthly, we thank him for individual citizens. We thank him. The Bible made provision for this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. When he asked us to pray, he made provision for it. And then we thank God, lastly, for progress. Progress in life. Progress. So we make progress basically in this area. Spiritually, we are making progress. Mentally, we are making progress. Physically, we are making progress. Socially, we are making progress. Materially, we are making progress. I mean, people don't thank God comprehensively like that. Just speak one area, but we are making progress. The path of the just, Proverbs 4:18, is like a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. So we thank God for progress. And I expanded that for you. Because sometimes when we ask people to thank God, they say, what for? No, we thank God for progress. For progress. For progress. And this Thanksgiving, let me just show you some scripture as I begin to tie this up this morning. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7, it said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him, be rooted and be built up in him. Be established in your faith as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is inevitable. Praise, thanksgiving are the primary action of our faith. A lot of people wait until something spectacular happens before you thank God. No. As soon as my feet hit the ground, I thank God for life. Because whether you realize it or not, many people, maybe in the same neighborhood, didn't wake up and they were not sick last night. So the gift of life. ability to move.
We take it for granted. It's one day that you hit your leg and you can't readily move very well. That's when you understand the power of swaggering on your feet.
So as we praise God for his blessing, he has blessed us. He has. Let's read Colossians 1:12-14. This is one of the blessings of God. It said, giving thanks unto Father, the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the divine inheritance of the saints in light. Ha, there are things people don't partake if they don't know him. One basic thing is peace. Valium, whatever, can't give you peace. The Bible calls it the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding, means all knowledge. Your PhD can't give you peace. You know what I found out? How many degrees makes a circumference? So you have to read, or you have to have 360 degrees. My sister is laughing. She has about 4 master's degrees. I know that one day you will complete it. She has about 4. But what am I saying? This kind of peace, it passes all knowledge. It passes all understanding. And he said, this is the kind of peace that we build an empire. In other words, life will throw darts at you, but the peace of the Lord, which passes all understanding, we garrison. If you don't know what garrison means, maybe on your way, if you pass through Bobalaji Bank Anthony, at the entrance of the army barrack, you see this heap of sand. You just see, don't move now, because if you look closely, you will see something pointing out. That's the head of AK-47. So don't move near us. Let me go on. But that's what garrison means. It's protection. Impenetrable protection. The peace of our God. The peace of our God. So he said, he has made us to be partakers of his divine nature. They love life. That's another benefit. Divine nature of God. And one of another one is that he has delivered us. See, what I'm about to say, I know that it's very difficult for many of us Africans. Because of the way we were brought up, the culture that we were brought up. We are brought up to think that something is pursuing us. But the Bible says he has delivered you. I don't know what it is. He, fellow human being that they call Abalis or Babalawo, can put a scission on your body and say to, and rub one black powder that is made from the dust of the heart and says to you that you are protected from bullets. You are protected from accident. How much more the one who created all things by the word of his power. I don't know what this is. Ajesara. This is Ifunpa. Number one, that is sure. What do they call all those things that people put around their body in languages? Onde. Whatever it's called, he said he has delivered you. The reason why people put it is for protection. But he's saying to you and I, he has delivered. Not that he's going to deliver us. It's not the deliverance that they conduct for you after the service today, if there is any. The deliverance is happening right now through the word of God. That's the greatest form of deliverance. You shall know the truth, and the knowledge inherent in the truth will set you free. See, we don't have time. So don't spend your Christian experience looking for what is not lost. He has delivered us. So this is another thing we thank him for. From the past
power of darkness and conveyed us. So he didn't just deliver us to leave us. He translated us. So there are things to be learned in this new kingdom. That's why he said, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word so that you can grow thereby. He has delivered us from the power. He holds the keys of gates and hell, having spoiled principalities and power. So I said to you, because we are from Africa, so we've watched our own kind of movies are scripted along that line. Even the family setting are scripted along that line. So if you are from a polygamous background, it's even worse, because everybody suspect each other. They don't eat from each other. They are afraid if somebody is cooking in the kitchen, somebody must be watching over what they are cooking so that somebody else. So there is this mindset that we now carry. We still believe something is pursuing us. And like Job 3:25, that which I greatly fear will come upon me. But the mindset of the kingdom is that you have been delivered. You have. Even if you don't believe it, you have. You have been delivered. I've told you many instances. If I'm fasting, I will eat in my dream, because my tummy is rumbling. So the only dream I dream is food. And sometimes when I eat that food, I didn't complete it, I wake up, I sleep back, I say, I want to complete the meal. I can't. Some people sleep has ended. It's all night. They have come again. Who? He said he keep his angel. Charge. Not go. It's not like our malams. He keep his angel charge over you to guide you in all your ways. See, which I know. So, in our culture, because it's also culture that is full of diabolical things. So things, for people to come into this reality, it takes people time. So you have people who visit prophets. You have people whose their daily experiences is in the hand of a man. So he tells them when to go, when not to go. What to say, when not to say. Hey, because they are so used to it. From when they were infants, they've been having prophets coming to pray in their house. It got a point in my own life. You know, my parents profess Christianity. So you have these people who come do incision. You have these other people who come do prayer. But even those who do prayer, they do incisions. So when I gave my heart to Christ, so when one of those, I said, see, number one, it's painful because you use razor blade. None of this, in fact, I commend doctor. The sight of blood self, I will freak out. So I said, this thing. My mother said, Omoburuku, you want to kill me? You can. None of the above. After the second time, he's a man himself. He said, this one, he said he's different, so leave him. What did the man see? Light in you. And that's what you and I carry. In this city, I've been at instances. I got to a place. They said robbery took place 2 minutes ago. Because the world says, with my eyes, I've never seen. The only time they knocked my door before, my window, bah, 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 bah. I said, what? I said, I don't have money. It was like the Holy Spirit just say, because it was in traffic, there is an entrance. So I just, you don't pray at that instant now. You listen. Do you understand me? And that's why I want us, by God's grace, as we move into, we will teach, we are teaching ourselves this thing. there are certain instances that you don't pray. You just listen. Someone lost his life. Armed robber came to their neighborhood. They didn't come to his house. Started praying in tongues. Lobo yobo baba. They said, shut up. He said, lobo yobo. And they went and knocked his gate and shut him. So that prayer is out of fear. How did I get there? Let me just come back. Okay, he has delivered us. That's one thing to thank him for. Praise and thanksgiving are the primary actions of our faith. Giving thanks. We are grateful for the gift of Jesus. He has made us to be partakers of his inheritance of saints in the light. We were once children of the devil, slave to him, but now through the finished work of Christ and redemption, Satan's dominion is broken over us, and we are now called saints in the light. Did you notice that? We are saints. If I asked earlier on now, before I made you realize that, how many saints are here this morning? Because of the guilt, sometimes condemnation, a lot of people are not sure. So, I've said that in him, in whom, with whom, through him, there are epistles, there are scriptures that talks about this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 13 and 14, as I begin to, I think my time is up. Is it? Yeah. My timekeeper said yes. So I'm rounding up. Galatians 3, 13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sin, poverty, sickness, having become sin, poverty, sickness for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So, verse 14 is not that the curse, that's a blessing. So, there was an exchange. So, the gospel of curses is not in the world, that's a blessing. Otherwise, if it's there, it will say that the curse, which means you now have to fight your own battle, might come upon Abraham, who stood as the father of faith for us in Christ Jesus. We are, even the Gentiles, we are in Christ Jesus, that we might receive. So the promise of the Spirit is not curse again. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. So we are the people of God, zealous for good works. Ephesians 1, 3. Ephesians 1, 3. He said, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. My mind just keep going back to this. You see, I think it's like nailing Jesus back to the cross. If I keep breaking curse, I know that in the body of Christ in the last 10, 20 years, after we exhausted the message of excess prosperity, so this message of course came. So you have even ministries that are built around it. But the truth is that, hey, is it in the New Testament for us as Christians? No. So I break the curse in my family life. I break the one in my wife's family. So when I give birth to children, I break the curse of the first son. I break the first of the curse of the first daughter. So I just keep breaking. And then when I, there is no end to all those things. And the devil knows. That's why he said, we are not ignorant. We are not. We are not. We are not. What those people did, when they did them, were they right? I mean, God used this platform. But we can't make religion out of it. We can't even make doctrines out of it. Praise the Lord. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And when the Bible talks about every spiritual blessing, we are not talking about money. Every spiritual blessing, victory over sin is a spiritual blessing. Victory over sickness is a spiritual blessing. Victory over poverty is a spiritual blessing. Lastly today, Ephesians 5:20. We are not trying to get blessed. We are not hoping to get blessed. We are already blessed. That is ours legally. It's ours vitally and experientially. Do I believe in exorcism, breaking of, driving out demons? If necessity is, if it happened on the spot, we do it. But one thing that I found out, if you make religion out of those things, there was a time we were doing deliverance. But what we find out is that the people were not delivered because there were the people who kept coming back for those deliverance services. They just vomit all over our auditorium and all that. Same set of people. So what is the greatest form of deliverance? What the word prescribes? You will know the truth. You will know the truth. And the knowledge of the truth. I don't know how what this thing is called in science, in medicine. You know, sometimes you are sleeping and you feel that something is pressing you. I don't know, but there is a science to it. Maybe your blood is not flowing, but you just feel that something is pressing you down. You know, people have said that it's demons that are pressing you down and all that. If it does you tonight, just change your position and sleep. Or you stand up and stretch your body and go back to bed. Don't give attention to the devil. That's what I'm saying. He has blessed us. Ephesians 5:20. He said, giving thanks always, always, for all things to God, the Father in the name. So we give thanks to the Father in the name of Jesus for all the things that he has done for us, both spiritually and naturally. The name of Jesus has been given us as access. We do not give thanks to God in the things that the devil has done. No, we not only give thanks for all things, but we also give thanks in all things. So sometimes we face tests, trials. We know it is not God who brings the test. He's not the one who brings the trials. He's not the one who brings the adverse circumstances. Tests and trials are from the devil. So in the face of those adverse situations, we maintain a spirit of thanksgiving. We maintain it. We maintain it. Hebrews 13:15. It said, therefore, by him, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice. So, if the Bible calls it sacrifice, it means in the natural, it may not be convenient. A sacrifice of praise to God, that is what? The fruit of our lips. Giving thanks, not complaining. Giving thanks. So this morning, Brother Robert, where are you? Please come. Brother Wale, where are you? Rawali Akisa, please come. Sister Fadeke, where are you? Please come. So we listened to their testimony. I didn't inform them, but let them come and share their testimony to corroborate what I've preached this morning about Thanksgiving. The three of them went through different experiences. And I believe you will be blessed listening to them. Let's give them two, three minutes each. Yeah.
Started on the 17th of last month. I felt kind of feverish because the previous time I felt that way, I took a malaria tablet and it didn't work, so I decided to go through to take injection and I felt better. So this on the 17th, I felt the same way I felt the last time, so I just thought, okay, let me go through the injection. On the 16th, So I took the injection on the 16th. Then on the 17th, due to my work schedule, I know I didn't really eat that much as I'm supposed to have done. Okay. So I went for the injection. I took the injection. Then I got food because I didn't have time to. I stayed alone, actually. So when I, on my way back upstairs, when I got upstairs, I just sat down and I started feeling some certain way. So I ran to my room. I had to wear something heavy, but I was still feeling that way. And at the point, I felt as if life was leaving me. So I picked up my phone. The first person I called was a friend, like, where are you? And I said, he's at Maryland heading to Georgia. I said, come to my house now, I'm dying. That was the last thing I remembered. So actually, behind the scene, this guy came to my house. When he got to my house, so because we don't have any gate man, he knocked the gate for like 30 minutes with trying to enter. But luckily, he called, made some calls, and finally he was able to enter. Got to my apartment now. Entering my apartment, they spent about 45 minutes trying to break in. I had to get a welder to break into my apartment. So when they got into my apartment, at first, he didn't want to break my apartment because thinking that maybe I've gone out. So when he got into my apartment, he entered my room, saw me on the floor, lying lifeless on the floor. So they now picked me. The first hospital they got to, by the time they started trying to stabilize me, I had some, like, two seizures. I fell from the bed twice. They were scared. They rejected me. So, like, three hospitals rejected me that night. So my friends were driving all around Lagos trying to look for where they could admit me. So finally, they got a hospital. The hospital said, you must deposit $2 million first before they can do anything. So my friends said they would deposit the $2 million. That was how I woke up 2 days. After 2 days, in the ICU, of gadgets everywhere. I was like, where am I? Like, so as if I was just born again. So I was seeing people, they were trying to talk to me and I wasn't really hearing what they were saying. Like, I was just sleeping, waking after hours and sleeping, waking after hours. So I had to go through a lot of tests, MRI and everything, and I'm happy I'm here today. This, I was discharged on Monday and I've been well, I've moved around. And even the nurses and doctors, they confirmed that a lot of people don't come out of this, but they were surprised that at my recovery and I could walk, all the tests, all the scan and everything they did, they thought maybe I could have a stroke or anything. I came out well and I'm happy and healthy.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. I want to thank God for his goodness over my life. I've had this challenge, you know, health challenge for some time anyway. Last year, I used to go for Bible training at Rema. You know, every Saturday, some guys come to me, I take them, you know. So when this, around March or so, I felt sick, seriously sick. So, you know, in my mind was just what I was particular about was the training every Saturday because it has to be early and so how will I do it? You know, so thank God there was a lockdown also. So we began to do online because I knew that I wouldn't be able to go out at all because I felt weak. I couldn't even sleep for this. A lot of times my sleep was just maybe 2 hours in a day or 3 hours. So I needed to take some posture to even be able to sleep. And to even, you know, to even worsen it all, I, of course, you know, I was pursuing money at that time too. So I needed to open a bank account. I think Burger King was even helping me then. I'm sure he wouldn't know. So I didn't perfect the whole process. In fact, the banks even contributed to my problems. Because just internet water, I had to be going and coming. And, you know, on all these banks now, they've said that they don't put shares again. That is, you know, what this GT started in those days. You know, quick, I'll clamp your tire, all these things. You know, so I couldn't even sit down, nowhere to sit. I had to be going up and down. Trying to, I'm not feeling very... In fact, that day, and this whole thing started, I went to bank that day, came down, I was in myself. I came home that day, there was a nurse, you know, just that stays, you know, my neighborhood. She took my BP, and it was about okay. But that night, like my brother said, I didn't even know when I passed out. Started in my, lost my memory, everything. I was, you know, it was later they were telling me all that I said. I mean, for 2 days. But thank God some people, you know, Sister Tulu, Roshegun, you know, his wife, a pharmacist came, brought somebody that was on drip in my house, you know, for those 2 days. Then later, Dr. Kuti came also, and I was, I mean, because they came with ambulance also, I just imagine what could have happened in my street that day that, you know, people don't want to identify with things like that. They didn't even come and ask me later. Because maybe they thought they came to evacuate me. Praise the Lord. I mean, it was that bad. You know, thank God for all my, for my wife, for my children. Thank God that, I mean, they were the ones carrying me. So we went to hospital. I was there for overnight. I mean, all this experience I'm saying, I didn't even know at all. Only I was, it has never, you know, all these things we see in home videos. You know, it's home video, I see them and we laugh. But I never knew home video was playing out. Also, you know, so, but thank God for one thing, sir. I thank God for his word. Because his word has even come before. Through the pulpit, personal, you know, there was one word that came. Because when I was having that crisis of sickness, I never knew it was going to get to the point where I would just, you know, fizzle out like that. I mean, God has come to me through Psalm 91 verse 4 that his faithful promises will be my shield. And I mean, and those are the words that really, really, and another word has even come before then that says that the voice of singing and rejoicing will only be heard in my house, you know, that the hand of God do it brilliantly. In fact, somebody has even come to even tell me before then that he saw, you know, people's slippers, whatever, in my, you know. Well, I believed, you know, I believed the word of God. And I thank God that during those times too, our brethren came home. You know, my parents had to travel from the, you know, not from the village, from our town, you know, to come and see me, you know. So they came from there and to know how bad it was. And thank God that when they came, they saw the brethren praying in tongues. I only remember that even when I even saw Pastor Falake then, if I was able to see, you know, like the man Jesus Christ healed, you know, I was, you know, so I don't know how to thank God. You know, it was a very bad experience, but thank God, God turned it. And today, by the grace of God, I'm, you know, fully recovered. God has really helped me. I want to thank God. I want to thank Pastor and everybody. Everybody. You might think, you know, your prayers. Because every day I keep seeing prayers every day. And, you know, I follow all those things. And it's been really very great. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody again today. I left Nigeria October 2020 for a journey of just 4 weeks, and he extended into 4 months. I left to see my daughter in England. But along the line, one day, I think the 18th of December, I started feeling feverish. So, and because normally my malaria is always very serious. I'd already taken care. Okay, sorry. When I have malaria, it used to be very serious. So I thought I had malaria. So I took some medications and I felt better. But by the third day, I got to the point of just wanting to lie down. I was having this high temperature. My head was aching. So I called my husband. I said, I don't know, but this thing, even if it was malaria, it should have left me. So by the 26th of December, they had to call the ambulance because in the midnight, I was struggling to breathe, and I was just uneasy. So I called my sister and I called my daughter that I think I was losing my breath. So they called the ambulance. So the ambulance came, they checked me, and they told me that I was very sick. And I was tested for COVID, and I came out positive. But when they gave me that news, I just told myself that I was not going to die, and they were not going to take my body back in a body bag, and they were not going to bury me in England. I just told myself, Fadeke, this COVID will not kill you. I thought it was a mokikiri of COVID, though. But this thing started. It won't leave me. The unfriendliest illness to ever have. Every day I was not improving. It got to a point that you'd be talking to me, and I would just be looking at you. It was serious. I just have to tell you that I went through. At the point I was looking at death, I thought I was going to die. But I told myself, I kept reminding myself that I was not supposed to die. Then while they were treating me, my daughter got it too. The girl that I went to meet, she got it too. Double wahala. How will you tell them back home that I was supposed to come back on the 4th of January? My sister said we should keep it from the family. I said, they will ask me, why are you not coming back? So I told my parents, bad news. Positive. My parents, they said, you know, when you say COVID, it's death sentence. Me, I was telling myself, Fadeke, you will not die. You have to go back to Nigeria. So the girl was positive too. Started treating ourselves. Then one day I woke up. I said, you know what? I don't even know any Bible passage anymore. But we continue to say, God have mercy. That night, I think we said God have mercy more than 500 times. God have mercy. God have mercy. Because I do not know this kind of disease that you don't have a medicine for. You don't have medication for. But they were just trying. And I was, and you know, Omoti Mwari, I took a COVID wrong. So one day I woke up and I didn't have symptoms. After a long struggle with this COVID, I don't want to go into details of what I went through, but it was not a funny experience. I woke up and all the symptoms left. I say, is this God that Ishe Oluwa Okin Bajeo? Yes. So while I was recuperating, you know, I won't be able to leave the country until I will test negative. Then I had a call from Nigeria that the son I left in Nigeria, tested positive too. I say it's a lie. But you know, it was to shake me. I didn't shake, I just called him. How are you feeling? He was in isolation. The boy didn't have one symptom. Every time I call him, I'll be looking at him through video call. How are you feeling? You see him, he'll be eating. I say, is it the COVID? The same COVID that I went through? Is it the same COVID that you have? They say I should stay at home. Sure, I will not eat again. But I want to thank God because it's just a short story. But it was a long walk. I left October. I came back February. Not of my own volition, but because of that nonsense. I thank God. I really thank God. Honestly, this is my worship. And I told God, I want to thank Brother Jimmy. Every morning, he will wake me up with prayer. Sister Buki and some other people. Prayer works. God is good. God is faithful. God is awesome. Because I told him, I will not die. I will go back home. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You just want to let us all, as a community of believers, let's lift up our hands in appreciation. Let's give him praise. Father, we want to say thank you. Your word works. Thank you for preservation. Thank you for your word that heals, that restores back to health. Thank you, Lord, because your word never fails. You said none of your word will fall to the ground. We bless you. Thank you for these are brethren. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you for wholeness. Thank you for wellness. We say, blessed be your glorious name. In Jesus' name, we have given thanks. Praise the Lord. Well, me, I know the details of those things. They are not funny. They are not funny at all. But we thank God for the gift of life. One thing that I will bring out, I will still come back before we close the service to talk about something that is very important. Please, you belong to a community. There are many things that, it's not that I don't want to hear, but there are many things the people in the community would have heard before I hear. Which is better? You know, they didn't say pastor prayed. Community people prayed. I think it was only when the wife of Brother Robert came that she called me. When the wife saw the gadget fixed to his body, and then they looked for my number to call me. But people were praying. So you belong to a community. And the community that you belong, it also demands that share your life with people. Nobody pray for anything adverse to happen. But it's one of the ways that fellowship works. Praise the Lord. I'll come back later because I think they're coming out for Thanksgiving and appreciation to God. Thank you.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrat Abiola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,